Judaism and the priesthood. There's a basic problem that your founder raises anyone who is concerned, as he was, with the status of the Catholic priesthood in the modern world. The problem is a question. Whatever happened to the priesthood? Why has the church, at least in the Western world, been plagued? So many thousands, odious thousands, in a few years, of defections from the priesthood. Why have vocation the priesthood dropped phenomenally, to be exact, dropped by 90% since the Second Vatican Council? Why have so many priests made spectacles of themselves through the press, the media, and criticizing not just one or the other teaching of the Church, but the most fundamental truths of Catholicism? I never tire repeating what happened just 30 years ago. Then Pope Paul VI issued Humanae Vitae. The bishops of one major country after another sat in solemn session, spent days debating whether they should obey the Vicar of Christ. Just to mention a few, maybe of the United States, of Canada, of Germany, of France, voted against the Vicar of Christ. Many explanations have been offered. By now, scores of books have been written. But there's one explanation that should be understood. What Father Gerald assumed was the underlying reason for the widespread breakdown of the priesthood. It was the penetration of what we call secularism. It infected seminaries, colleges, universities. It has philosophical language, the underlying problem that created this massive exodus from the priesthood in one simple word. It was pride. Although pride had been as old as the human race, in our day, pride has had the opportunity of broadcasting, of multiplying, of seducing on a scale never before known in human history. And of course, and that pride was and is the evil spirit. Speaking of his own life, living with priests, especially those whom he encouraged to join with him, forming his apostolate. Father Gerald said, I quote, "It would be my honest conclusion that 85%, perhaps even more, 95% of the problems, being priests to the Archdeity, have their root in pride. I'm still quoting Father Joe. A proud man will not stop following his soul, his own course of folly. A humble man will learn even by his mistakes. A humble man, if he offends God, matter in what virtue it may be, will come back to God, and in humility will tell God, I've been a fool, I'm sorry. The proud man cannot say, I am sorry, because pride, I'm still quoting Father Gerald, pride is self-deification. One makes oneself a god. And even says to God himself, I will not serve. We go on. What have been the contributing factors to this massive rise of the epidemic of pride? First of all, affluence. And then, as a logical consequence, atheism. There is some value exploring this phenomenon of modern pride to make sure that what happened in the priesthood will continue going on unless and until God gives the grace, and those who are proud will have the humility to bend their knees, tell God, I am sorry. A large contributing factor that has stimulated man's occupation with himself, forgetfulness of God, is the rise, certainly in our country, of extraordinary access to the good things of this world. I've said more than once, I will never thank God enough for being born into a very poor family. My father died, my mother worked, literally every day until the day of her death.
Father, is it possible to project your voice a little bit more? If not, maybe I can put this up.
I'll project my voice a little more. Well, projecting a little more now, I'll do my best. They are boasting in our country of having an affluent society. Americans are told we've never had it so good. Look at us. We count the golf courses of our nation. We are crossing in power boats and sailboats and yachts over the bays and the lakes, even the oceans that surround us. We are bathing in the balmy weather of American industry. They carry us on our commercial tours. We have a 40-hour week. In India, where, please God, I'll be next month. The average working day, I'm not exaggerating, is 18 hours a day. We have cars and every material convenience. All this we know is common knowledge. In varying degrees, is available to millions. And all the while, that people are becoming immersed in naturally satisfying experiences. They're becoming less interested in God and the things of the Spirit. I never tire repeating, if something is meaningless, we say it does not matter. We redefine reality with the things of this world we can weigh and measure and find out how big they are. All the while, the people are becoming immersed. The things of this world are becoming less interested in God. Well, I keep repeating things of the Spirit. Quoting Father Gerald, we have within us built-in intelligence which allows us dominate the whole kingdom, which graces the whole visible universe at our feet, gives us the whole world to conquer. God does give us the invitation to conquer the world. But the problem is, among the children of men, is not conquering this visible universe. We have begun to conquer ourselves. And that, as far as Gerald, is the problem. I agree with Father Gerald. Man can land on the moon. But so what? There's every indication that a human being on the moon can be as unhappy as we are by the millions down here on Earth. To land a second man, there's no reason why the two of them would not have a fight to death even over it. Has made tremendous, appalling, starting progress in the physical, material sciences. But then, how woefully he has failed in the science that is most important of all to human happiness. And even happiness, essential for human coexistence. That is why I repeat, I believe one thing that every community, should your community, be dedicated for the apostolate of the priesthood, should look at its practice of poverty. Along with affluence, has developed a callous indifference to the needs of others. We boast of our prosperity. I'm quoting now Father Gerald. In the face of the fact that millions of our fellow beings, even in this country, go to bed hungry tonight, we indulge in pleasures of the flesh satisfy our emotions, why so many of our people are desperately looking for meaning in life. They are, I'm so quoting Father Gerald, an agonizing defeat leads them at last to revolt. Pray for the state of Michigan this fall. Some of you know, they'll vote on assisted suicide. If Michigan votes in favor of euthanasia, it will become then a national law. As it is, for example, in Denmark. I've said more than once, in Denmark, many people just assume take their own lives. We ask, what is wrong? We ask with Father Gerald, man has failed in the most important of all relations, relationship with God, with his fellow man. Never before has atheism raised its ugly head so blatantly and openly, and by the lightning of God's disaster, God's retribution, as men believe they cannot please God unless men believe in Jesus Christ, if they have perfect human relations within the nation, even internationally, what do they have? All of man's powers or glory and happiness lead only to the grave. And, oh, Jesus, what do we have? As I've said more than once, my favorite definition of an insane person is one who believes this is the only life we have to live. If all man's powers, all glory and happiness, lead only to the grave, then, oh Jesus, what would we have? The more that life was filled with happiness, and the grave entered it all, the greater the tragedy. The happier a man or woman was in this world, the sadder would he be, in the hour of leaving this world. No words of mine can describe adequately the importance of our deep faith in life after our bodily death. I've said more than once, my 5 years of teaching at a state university, the record was 3 suicides among my students in 2 weeks. These are the conclusions of a believer. I looked at the results, what man's genius produces when it seeks only his own personal collective gratification, separated from God. All I can do is repeat the words. The important thing is that our Lord here present in Holy Eucharist, and let all of our minds be with my own mind, not to see in this world the satisfaction or the gratification of our desires. I continue with Father Joe. The first factor, then, that helps explain the modern crisis in the priesthood, in the conflict between worldly prosperity and the narrow way of Christ that leads to salvation. Oh, this needs to be etched in bronze. And over the centuries, doctrines of the Church and the saints have given many interpretations of Christ's words. Remember, the path that leads to heavenly glory is narrow. And few there are that walk it. The path that leads to perdition is wide. May there are that walk that way. There's one thing that you, having the precious blood, are to give witness to the world, in your deep faith in life after death, which means you accept, you change the verb, you embrace the cross. And the first factor then, says Father Gerald, helps explain the modern crisis in the priesthood, is the conflict between worldly prosperity and the narrow way of Christ. When the Master said there are few who walk his way, or the ways of the world are more naturally appealing, included some of his own anointed ones. That means bishops and priests. They would choose mammon, preference to God, and even defend their choice a more relevant or contemporary, or as they say, more in touch with the times. And my own fellow Jesuit, 10 years, the seat of Congress, voted a pro-abortion ticket straight, never once. Voted against abortion. Finally, the Holy Father stepped in, told the Jesuit provincial, tell that man to get out of Congress or put him out of the priesthood. I lived with him at Georgetown University for 4 years, living in a dream world, totally separated from what God has revealed. Only deep humility, born of faith, is a match for the subtle worldliness that surrounds priests today and the atmosphere they breathe. And the need for prayer, asking our Savior what the disciples asked from him in Palestine, Lord Jesus, increase our faith. And thank you for our faith in you. I believe in the Father who created me. I believe in God the Son, came out of the happiness of his Father's bosom to share with me his own divine life. He, Father Gerald, the victim, the host, and the priest. Never thought I'd say this, but the only thing that a good authentic priest can expect from the world is opposition. And I mean opposition. Nevertheless, this kind of faith will sustain a priest in today's climate of selfish affluence. That's the basic explanation Father Gerald gives for the widespread breakdown of the priesthood in countries like ours. I'm sure this with you on some occasion. I was teaching the nuns in Philadelphia some 15 years ago. He always gave me the daily paper. I glanced at the article on the front page from Chicago. 10 years before, 48 priests ordained to the priesthood. 24 of those 48 had just left the priesthood. Second great need, and when I'm speaking to you, I mean you contemplatives, the need to pray. It's almost to be expected that pride leads to neglect of prayer. I'm sure we've said more than once, a divine article of the faith, we know exactly who will go to heaven, who will go to hell, infallibly. Those who go to heaven who pray, those who go to hell who do not pray, period, close the book. Pride inevitably leads to the neglect of prayer. This is why God in His mercy sends us trials, difficulties. Thank God for those trials. All will tell us is about time you woke up, began to pray. After all, whatever prayer is, the acknowledgement of God's greatness and my, what a cheap word, my littleness. God's goodness ready to give, to cope with no matter what the trial may be. But repeat this, an article of the faith. God, who is almighty, all merciful, will not give us the grace we need unless we pray. Close the book. Our people, however, do not pray. And I would even say the measure of our humility is the degree, the frequency, and the fervor of our prayer. Only humble people are honest enough to admit that God alone is God. And they, that's we, are simply we. I never tire repeating, as for God's goodness, you would be the empty pews here in chapel. I'd be an empty chair. In God's mercy, He created us. He made us, as we've said so often, He made us, pardon me, a bedbug. He made us a flea. And a flea has no more right to his existence than we have. God decided to give us a mind which can think, and most important, a will that can choose. Choose what? Choose to pray. I'm now quoting Father Gerald. The greatest problem we have, the lives of the priests, is a neglect of prayer. They tell me they forgot. So busy building churches, running bazaars, take care of clubs, they have little time for prayer. And the question Father Joel asks, how does it apply in our lives? Or maybe it's a self in the spiritual life. And as contemplatives, your principal responsibility is to pray. Pray for yourselves, pray for others, especially for priests. Says Father Joe, if you want to be successful in a spiritual life, you must fall in love with the business of prayer. Prayer must be not a burden, but a joy. And there lies the hub of the problem. So many priests, prayer has become a burden. To relieve themselves of this weight as often for as long as they can. At this point, I would like to interject. As the priests go, so goes the church. Only God knows, only He, how much the lives of believing Catholics depends on the fidelity of priests here to their practice of prayer. What Father Joel says about building churches, take care of clubs, is only symptomatic of a wider issue that affects every priest, every bishop, and what his activity may be. There is no, and the word is no, apostolic work which a priest engages cannot become for him an excuse for praying less than he should, or even giving up prayer altogether. I never forget a letter that Martin Luther wrote to his sister. He was abbot of his monastery. Oh, dear sister, I'm so busy with so many things. I don't even have time to say my divine office. Six whole nations were lost to the Catholic faith because one priest neglected his prayers. They go on. Adoration. Why must everyone? And with emphasis, why must priests pray? The fundamental reason is that our primary obligation is to worship God. In primary purpose, as rational creatures, as priests of God, is to adore our God, keep Him loving company. That's your first duty, and nothing takes its place. I'm quoting Father Gerald. Not only is prayer primary duty of a priest, it is also a priest's greatest privilege. Now again, I quote Father Gerald. What a privilege it is to adore one's God. The ultimate and highest activity of a rational creature is adore with grateful love, appreciation, understanding, admiration, the Supreme Being, given Him existence, and more than just existence. It may seem He has redeemed Him. God wants us to become more and more like Him. And I'm still quoting Father Gerald. Dear fathers, never forget the statement of adoration. more you adore God, more God will draw you to himself. That which seems so attractive in creation finds absorption in the divine goodness and loveliness and beauty of God. And why God sends us trials and difficulties to make us break our being mesmerized by creatures. On both counts, both as a duty and a privilege, a priest must pray, wish to others that he prays. Why? Because a priest has been ordained to testify to the world that there is an infinite God who deserves and demands his creatures' recognition and the evidence our submission to God is that we pray. I've said this more than once. The most influential judgment theologian, Karl Rahner, never admitted that God is infinite. And any wonder he has done incalculable damage to the faith of millions. I am quoting Father Gerald. Above all, other creatures call upon to adore God. Yet we priests are the official representatives of God. And the basic attitude of a creature to its God is adoration. Veni, adoremus. Come, let us adore him. We have come with gifts from these to adore him. Offer him adoration. That immolation of the human spirit in the presence of the divinity. So for a faithful priest, including with Father Gerald, for a faithful priest becomes a deep instinct, a habitual attitude of the soul. The soul rests in the presence of God like a little child whose eyes follow its mother where the mother goes. Little child remains in loving contemplation of its mother. So the depths of your souls, it works in this way. The more you cultivate this interior union with God, which adoration brings about, where you will find contentment and happiness, able to deal with the unreasonableness and even cruelties of others, with the cruelties of God's priests. Only God knows how true that statement is. We must bear with. But then I shift from speaking about priests to speaking to you. As we've said more than once, keep repeating to the end of this seminar. Your community has been founded to obtain graces for priests. And obtain these graces only in the measure that you live, yourselves live the lives of a good priest in the present context. You must pray and be a little more clear. You might save an object. Although I'm sure you know how many hours a day we pray. But prayer, in its essence, is not verbalizing words. Prayer, at his heart, is opening our minds to the mind of God, our wills to the will of God. We pray only as much as our wills are always open to the will of God. And believe me, it's not a pious cliche. Because if, as Father Joel is telling us, priests, so many have fallen, so many are not living up to their priestly dignity. Why, the main single reason is they have not prayed either as much as they should, not prayed as fervently as they ought, for unbearable burden. If I can ask you to pray, ask our Lord to make prayer the most delightful experience of your life. As we know, humanly speaking, we enjoy another person's company in the measure that we can share our souls with that person. That person can share his or her soul with us. Prayer is deeply, profoundly interior. That is why, as I've said more than once, it is very wise to periodically pray, reflect on the prayers that we regularly say, the Our Father, the Hail Mary. In God's presence, ask our Lord, what? What are we saying when we say, Our Father? What are we saying when we pray, Hail Mary? Our prayers, I know what I'm talking about, our prayers can be very external. The key to praying effectively, here praying effectively for priests, is to pray with one's heart and mind. I never tire telling people, think of God as much as you can every day. Share everything with him. Talk to him. I mean this adverb, constantly. And the bottom line, of course, is to see in everything, what is everything in our lives, God acting in our favors. But I must have said this at least 50 times. Nothing in our lives ever happens. Everything, what is everything, is part of God's mysterious providence. As again I've said so often, there are two kinds of graces. The pleasant graces, which we are spontaneously grateful, and the painful graces. Thank God for the painful graces. Someone says something which is offensive or does not speak to us when they should. Someone acts in a crude way. I mean this. Thank God. Because it's these experiences that draw us closer to God. Now we ask a question. Oh, he's a busy priest. Involved in so many things. Keep up his practice of adoring prayer. One method I quote, Father Gerald, is, I'm quoting, by the use of a repeated phrase to stir the soul and to renew the soul, like the little ticking of a clock. The soul can say to God, habitually, I adore you. I adore you. Fill in the little blanks, the breaks, what of your daily activity with the cement of momentary elevation of the soul to the Trinity. Use every occasion, what is every occasion, to speak with God. And as we know, God is always, always speaking to us. Needless to say, and always talking to him. Then the question we ask, if the natural worldly attitude has become so preoccupied with creatures as to forget the Creator, the supernatural habit that a priest must cultivate is just the opposite, in the practice of constant prayer. Father Gerald is speaking about priests. I speak to you handmaids. I repeat, we are to obtain the graces that a priest needs. We must be faithful to the graces in our own lives. Immolation. With this, I will close. Says Father Gerald, there was a form of adoration which was very pleasing to God. That priests are literally ordained to practice. This is the prayer of sacrifice. Father Gerald calls immolation. It's noteworthy that the one time when Christ specially urged his disciples to pray was, remember, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the one time when he gave us the most eloquent example of how to pray was during his agony. What's most significant about this is the fact that Christ did not actually have to pray. As though being God, he the help will not be, would not have received. We want to teach us the importance of praying, especially when faced with trials. Thank God for your trials. They are God's way of drawing you closer to himself. One closing observation. Adoration is the A, the Alpha, of priestly existence. Now God has given us his own life to adore, but God himself does not adore. What does God do? God blesses those who pray. And the bottom line is that we pray. The more faithful you handmaids are to the practice of prayer in your lives, the more grace you will obtain for the priests that so desperately need to recover they've lost the practice of daily, frequent prayer. Lord Jesus, how we need to to believe in the necessity of prayer. Prayer by priests, prayer for priests, so that we might obtain for priests the most important single practice they need. A priest must pray. Period. Thank you for listening. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.